You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Now, this is how you do a party, DeMarco. You come to a place like this where there is live mariachi music.
Yes.
Where you are surrounded by, I don't know whether to call these TVs or screens or whatever they are, but they are beautiful.
Yes, they're huge.
There's food. There's
everywhere.
Drink. And we're going to talk football today.
All day.
This is what this should be every single day.
I love this. This is a great idea.
And
why don't we do
scarves.
This like once a week? And we get good scarves. I know. We dressed up for this. This is awesome. I love it. Being amongst the Ramley is awesome. A bunch of season ticket holders.
It
awesome.
Is. Look, we're going to talk to a whole bunch of people today. We're going to talk to Chris Shula, the new Rams defensive coordinator, coming up here in about 10 minutes. So we'll talk with him. We're going to talk with Kevin Demoff, COO, a couple of players, Steve Avila, Bobby Brown coming up as well. But, you know, we're just talking with Sedano and Cap, and they were talking about wine. And I know how close you are with Dick Vermeil.
Yes.
And I know how special of a person he is to you.
My coach eternal.
Yes,
sir.
I have a bone to pick with that man. Because
oh boy.
They were talking about the wine that Saša Vujačić brought them.
So did Saša show up in studio with
sure,
wine?
But I know that they had, and Cappy's going to get wine out of it because he's Cappy, right?
Oh, Cappy's that guy, right? Yeah.
At the Super Bowl between the Green Bay Packers and the Pittsburgh Steelers in Dallas, Texas at Jerry World.
Okay.
Dick Vermeil was making the rounds through Radio Row. And I was very excited to see Dick Vermeil, Super Bowl winning head coach. This is very, very exciting.
What year was that? I'm trying to remember.
2010, I
okay,
believe.
So 2011 years maybe? After we won the Super Bowl.
Yes.
But still energetic and after his Kansas City deal.
He was great. And he comes in and he sits down at a table just like this one.
Yeah.
And he sits a big bottle of Cabernet Sauvignon right in front of me. He's telling
me
about his winery. He's telling me about living in Napa and all this wonderful stuff that goes along with it. And I love wine, DeMarco.
You're a wine guy.
I'm a wine guy.
Okay, right.
Well, I mean, yeah.
He put it right in the middle of your table.
Look, if it's free, it's for me.
Right.
If it's free, I'll take three.
Absolutely.
Right? That's just how the radio thing goes.
Yes.
Right? That's why we get into it is for the free food and drink. And he's telling me about this wine and how it's, you know, how it's cellared and all of these other things and when it's going to be ready. And he
isn't
puts
that
this
the
bottle.
Super Bowl 34 wine?
It might have been.
That's his signature wine.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Good. I love that wine. Yeah.
I get my 5 minutes with him and he gets up to go to the next one. He took the wine with him.
Oh.
I like everybody that comes by in the Super Bowl. Here's a bag of Skittles. Here's a six-pack of Corona or whatever it might be, right?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, I'm going to get a very nice bottle of Cabernet right here. He took to this day, it was 14 years ago, and it's like it happened yesterday.
Oh,
I haven't
man.
Let it go.
Should I text him?
Please.
You know, if I text him and tell him that story, he'll send you a case. He really will.
By then, yes.
He'll send you a case.
Text him right now
for sure. That is totally him, though. He's thinking, look, I'm going to do like 15 interviews in like 30 minutes. Do I bring 30 bottles of wine or just one?
He brought
I'm
going to
bring one and keep moving it. That's him. That is totally him. If I make a connection, I'll send you wine.
I couldn't believe it. It was great.
We'll get that
wonderful.
Rectified. Yeah, yeah.
Of course, he was the Super Bowl coach when you won your Super Bowl. The Rams not coming off of a Super Bowl appearance, but here we are just a couple of months after the end of the season when it ended. And you tell me how big of a surprise what last year was. Because for me, DeMarco, a 10-7 season, arguably the best playoff game that we saw throughout the entire season until we got into the Super Bowl with the Chiefs and the 49ers along the way. But I did not think that the 2023 season was going to be a 10-7 playoff appearance season for the Rams, and that's exactly what it was.
Not many did. And I'm mad at myself. I'm mad I didn't check in and see. We're going to be sitting down. I thought we're going to be standing up. I was going to bring both rings.
Oh.
But that's just too much to be, you know, walking around with.
Right.
But sitting down, I could have done it.
Pull
you know?
Your shoulders especially, out of your sockets.
You know what I'm saying? That's just a lot to deal with, especially when you got to go in out of the, you know, the men's room and whatnot. So you got to plan those things out. But we had a table. But anyway. But yeah, I mean, no one had the Rams making the postseason. This was supposed to be the rebuilding year. Remember?
Sure.
No one wanted to say rebuild.
Remodel,
no
one, I believe, is the term that Les Snead used.
Right. No one wanted to say rebuild,
sure.
Especially around Les Snead or Sean McVay. But when you think about how this league works, this should have been your rebuilding year. If you missed the postseason, everybody would have gave you a break for it. But the one person we forgot to ask about that was Sean McVay.
That's for sure.
And by extension, Raheem Morris and that whole coaching staff, they had other things in mind. They were just as driven as the players, if not more so. So you know, you're loaded with guys. You win the Super Bowl. You got Von Miller. The next year, you get Bobby Wagner. You just got talent everywhere, and you make it happen. But then you show up with a group of youngsters that need to be first coached up to your scheme,
yep,
coached up to the speed of the game, and then make them effective players in the National Football League all in one calendar year. Completely, totally impressive.
We were talking about this on my show earlier today, the Travis and Sliwa show, 10 to 1. You should check it out. It's pretty good.
I love that show.
Yeah. It's
except for that Sliwa guy.
He's all right.
Yeah.
You know, it depends on what we're talking about.
And this Emily that says something about Pulp Fiction.
She's pretty
anyway,
good.
Anyway, go ahead.
We were talking about this. They found 5 starters in the draft last year.
Yeah.
If you find a couple, that's a pretty darn good draft. They found 5 starters in one draft without a first-round draft pick.
Okay, not just that. You can find 5 starters in the draft. And they're all terrible, but you have to start them,
okay,
right? And they just don't play well. You found 5 guys that actually can start and play well and get better. That's the most impressive thing to me. The guy we're going to talk to today, Steve Avila, you plugged him in at left guard. And
there didn't be enough room between the two of us?
I don't think so. I'm looking at it, yeah. Have you seen the movie Moana?
Yes.
That's Maui. that is him. I swear, that's that guy. Yeah, he's amazing. So, but that guy... You plugged him in at left guard, and all he did was play every rep for you, every single snap for you. That is impossible as much as it's incredible. You know what I'm saying? And then to make that guy get better towards the end of the year, yeah, just amazing. So you draft guys, you identify guys that this guy could start for us, and then he does it. That's just unbelievable luck and unbelievable coaching.
And you did it 5 times.
Yeah.
It's like you said, it's one thing. Like we, you only have 50-some guys on the roster. You're going to have to start 11 of them on each side of the ball.
He's not so ready. He's not ready. We know.
You got to do it anyway.
Right.
None of those were just, we don't have a better option. They were all guys that played at a high level. And then a couple of guys that played at an insanely high level, like Puka Nacua, like Kobe Turner. Just guys that were really not just playing football, but playing at a crazy high level.
I'm trying to ignore Puka in the offseason. I am. I'm trying to ignore him. He's everywhere right now, and he should be. You should enjoy
this.
You
know he can play basketball like
you're
that?
An all-pro. Did you see him cram it?
Unreal.
The dude's an athlete. Yeah, born to do it. He's becoming a celeb. Yeah, I don't like this right now.
you afraid of
I just,
what
no,
exactly?
Do this after year 2, maybe. Just a little bit more. I don't know. But, yeah, he's been phenomenal. But can't wait to see him come back and capitalize and continue to do what he's done. Plus – The reemergence of Cooper Kupp. I still think that guy exists.
Cooper Kupp.
Even with Puka Nacua doing what he does. I still think Cooper Kupp exists.
I think that's one of the things that we'll talk about here over the course of the next couple of hours is how those two guys fit together moving forward. If Puka Nacua can be the number one, does Cooper Kupp slide to the 2? Do you have a 1 and a 1A? How does it all fit together? That's all coming up. We are here at the YouTube Theater. It is Rams Revealed, Jamie Long and Andrew Whitworth on the stage right now. We're talking all
both
about
wearing hoodies.
Season. Both. By the way, I wish I could pull that off. Like I want the hoodie out of the back of the sports coat. Can I pull that off?
That is big guy chic. Of course you can. Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm glad the big dudes are taking over.
Okay.
Yeah, come on.
All right. I'm going to go shopping for a hoodie then. That's going to happen. All right. Chris Shula, the new defensive coordinator of the Los Angeles Rams. He will join us next. That's coming up on Rams Revealed live from the YouTube Theater on 710 ESPN.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Now would be a very good time to put in that application for season tickets because they are coming off of a 10-7 season, a season that was supposed to, like DeMarco said a minute ago, the word that you weren't supposed to say out loud, right? The remodel, I think, is the word that was used publicly. This upcoming season should be incredibly exciting. A lot of new faces, both on the field and on the sidelines as well. New defensive coordinator, Chris Shula, joining us right now. Chris, thanks so much for stopping by.
Great. Thanks for having me on.
So do you even get an offseason when you get the promotion to the D.C. job? Obviously, you've been with the Rams for 8 years, but all of a sudden you are in that D.C. chair. What is it like? Did you just hit the ground running the very next day?
Hit the ground running. You know, I think when I got the job, we had about a week and a half left of vacation.
Okay.
But we still had to hire coach. You got to fill out the staff, and there's a timely manner to that because – you know, the coaches that we hired, you know, Greg Williams and Giff Smith had other opportunities in the league. So it was a timely fashion that we had to, you know, you become the D coordinator. Now, next thing you know, you got to get coaches. That happened the very next day. So filled out the staff, feel great about them. Unbelievable staff. And then, now we're, you know, working on the draft and free agency and scheme. And, yeah, there is no offseason to answer your question.
Is that are you on the horn as the DC calling guys? Saying, or is that somebody else calling for you? Like when you're calling to fill out your staff.
Well, we got to put in a request for the interview. So, you know, you can't talk to them directly. So, so they put in the request. And then once the request goes through, then, yeah, we kind of set it up.
That's really awesome, man. Yeah. I mean, look, I hope I don't bug you on game day because I always come up to you on game day and ask him questions.
You never do it.
And it's always right when you're done working out, or at least when I think you're done working out. But always great answers. And I was looking over the list of guys that you've been with. You've been with Wade. You've been with Raheem Morris. Joe Barry got a job. Brendan Staley got a job. I mean, you've coached from the secondary to the linebackers to the front. When did you know you were ready for this moment to be DC in the National Football League?
You know, I never really thought like that. You know, I was always just so focused on the job at hand. You know, I was never really looking ahead. You know, when I was coaching linebackers, I was ready to coach linebackers for the next 10 years. Move to DBs, you do the same thing. And then, you know, I think all those experiences and all the great coaches you work under eventually just prepare you for the task at hand, which is right now. And, you know, that's all I'm focused on is the now, and that's what I did in the past. And hopefully that still continues to benefit me.
That's one of the other points. Like, during games, I know you get so engrossed doing what you're doing, coaching your guys, but did you ever stop and just make mental notes for yourself, like, if this comes up down the road, I would do X, Y, and Z? Did you have those moments?
Yeah, for sure. I think you're always kind of, you know, you're always kind of knowing that this is the next step in the progression of the profession. And, you're always kind of thinking of it, you know, if I ever get that opportunity, I may do something this way, you know. And there's always stuff that's kind of fun to think
or
about.
Or I like the way he did
note.
That, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's the thing is working under a Wade Phillips and a Brandon Staley and a Raheem Morris, they all did it in their own way. They were all very different, and they're all very effective. Some great, you know, obviously Wade's one of the best of all time. Raheem's track record speaks for itself, and so does Brandon's. And so just working under those guys, you learn so much, and you kind of take a little piece of them, but you got to do it your own way.
Chris Shula, the Rams' new defensive coordinator, joining us here on Rams Revealed. And it's kind of what I wanted to ask you next, Chris, is all the names that you mentioned that you've worked for, these are guys that have been around the league a long time, have a kind of a ton of experience. You obviously spent your life in football and have been around it a long time. Taking everything that you see from your mentors, from your peers, and saying, okay, I like this. I like this from this guy. I like that from this guy. How much is putting together all of that, and how much of it is, I want to do it like this, just seeing it your own way and putting that spin on what you've learned throughout your years coaching in the league?
Yeah, and that's exactly what we're going to do. And you're always going to be yourself. Like, I can't even try to be Raheem Morris. I think everyone could kind of see that. You can't try to be Wade Phillips. He's kind of his own man. You just take certain things that I think you can – from those, like Raheem developed relationships with all the players, and he did that, developed the relationships in his own way, and I'll develop relationships with the guys in my own way, and that's kind of the thing. And, you know, Brandon, I always thought was so good at, you know, studying around the league and always watching stuff and always studying and always getting better, and you kind of take that from him. You know, now you don't know exactly what he's studying, you kind of do that in your own way. And then same with Wade, he let his coaches coach, and he gave them ownership. And, you know, I've always kind of felt that having such a strong staff, that's definitely how we'll operate.
Wade was sneaky funny. He would send out a tweet like, how old are you? And you're tweeting? Yeah. Or you see him dancing on the dance
still
floor?
Still tweeting, yeah.
I mean, you might have to cut a rug every now and then.
Wade was, I don't know about that, but Wade was classic and awesome to go to work with every day. He really was. And the stories he would tell about some of the older players he coached and stuff, it was so cool to go work with.
You know, I was reading, and you are one of two families that are third generation coaching in the NFL. Who's the other one?
Yeah, the Phillips.
The Phillips family. Oh, my God, that's
Phillips,
right.
Yeah.
That's right. Oh, my God. Does that ever dawn on you? Like, wow, this is like in our blood. This is what we do.
Yeah, that's what I found that out actually when I got hired here initially with the Rams, when I came up and started working with Wade. And Wade actually said that to me. So I think he's the one that told me that.
That's right. So Bum, Wade, and his
Wes.
Son.
Wes.
That's right. Oh, my God. Yeah. Wow. right here. They all were here at one point.
Say,
that's
all
nuts.
Coming through Los Angeles.
That's nuts. Unbelievable. Wow, history.
And this, I asked Raheem Morris this question a few years ago, and I always remember the answer. So, but before I tell you what he said to me, I'm curious your take on it too. How do you coach one of the greats to have ever played this sport? How do you coach an Aaron Donald? How do you put him in a position to get better and be at his best?
Yeah, I think for Aaron Donald, first of all, he wants to be coached. And that's always the thing that, like, with the Rams, and one of the reasons why we've had such a had success over the years is our best players want to get coached. And he wants to get coached just like everybody else. And now, obviously, you're not going to treat him just like everybody else because he's earned that right. And I think with him, it's showing him how you can get him one-on-one. You know, what can you do? How can you get him one-on-one in the run game? How can you get him one-on-one in the pass game? And showing him those types of things. And now, hey, maybe here you might have a tough down. Or maybe here, you know, we might be doing this and bringing something the other way. And, you know, and you kind of, it's kind of a give and take. But I think that's where it starts, and you kind of show him, you know, hey, here's where we can benefit you.
What are some of the differences? Like you said, you know, he's earned the right to be treated differently, that he wants to be coached. What are some of the differences?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's whether it's a veteran off day, you know, whether it's something with meetings. I think there's definitely some non-negotiables, some, you know, when it comes to playing hard on the field and some stuff like that. You know, how we take the field, how we play, you know, how we get off blocks, how we run to the ball, that's all going to be the same. But I think, you know, as far as how you get the process of getting to play your best on Sunday, it's a lot different for a guy that's been in the league 10 years and made however many all pros, you know, versus a guy that's been, you know, 2 or 3 years in the league. And I think it's going to be a lot different. I think everyone would agree with that.
When you see him with his shirt off, yeah, your tone will change. Absolutely. This guy can rip my arms off. Let me just, you know, I'll just ask him. No, but you know, Aaron is special. We know that he's from Mars. He's from a different planet. But the guys that, like Ernest Jones, who got progressively better, and you keep asking more of him, and he keeps performing, and guys like Michael Hoyt, position change, becomes a starter in the National Football League. That's the stuff that gets to me. I love watching Aaron play, but I love watching guys progress. We're going to have Bobby Brown on the show, right?
Yep.
Another guy who got nothing but better the more reps he gets. That's the stuff that fires me up. How about you?
Yeah, exactly the same. And, you know, I think of another guy, Quentin Lake, who got the opportunity this year, you know, kind of the second half of the year, started playing at some different spots, started playing the safety position, started playing the star. Another guy we're really excited about. Yeah, you mentioned Ernest Jones. You mentioned another guy, Kobe Turner,
oh,
Byron
boy, yeah.
Young. I mean, those guys. But, yeah, that's why you get into coaching. It's about the players. And that's why, you know, all of us that coach with the Rams, you know, it's all about the players, and it's how we can get them to play their best and trying to show them and everything we can do, every stone unturned, no matter what it is, it's all about them. It's not about scheme. It's not about anything else. It's how we can get them to play their best. And you know, I think when they know that and they realize that, I think that's when, you know, they'll play hard, and that's when great relationships form.
Rams new defensive coordinator Chris Shula joining us here on Rams Revealed. And not statistically, that's not what I'm asking, but just the evolution of them as football players. What is year two for Turner and Byron Young look like?
Yeah, I think it's just continuing to grow. You know, I think Kobe Turner doesn't necessarily get enough credit in how he played the run. You know, you talk about the 9 sacks breaking the rookie record, but he's a great player on all downs. And I think it's just continuing to increase his role a little bit, maybe, you know, his stamina, play a few more snaps, you know, get – you know, he's already played a 17-game season now, kind of build on that. And I think the same thing with Byron Young. You know, I think he's got so much ability and, you know, maybe honing that pass rush a little bit and maybe not running down the middle of the offensive lineman. Stuff like that where, you know, you're working a move, you're working an edge, using your speed. He's a great player versus the run, you know, continue to build on that. So I think it's just two guys that are all around really good players on, you know, versus the run and the pass, and just building on what they do well.
I have a theory about Byron Young. I don't want to – not blame. Blame is the wrong word. But I wish the Rams at SoFi had a tremendous home field advantage to where you couldn't even hear in here, like up in Seattle. Imagine Byron Young with that speed off the edge when you couldn't hear as a tackle.
There's no doubt, yeah. That's what we need. We need the fans to show up and,
that's 16
and come
sacks.
Out and help Byron Young out.
That's what I'm talking about. I mean, that dude, we said he is a tremendous talent. Once he learns how to pass rush, he's going to be dangerous. And you saw the light come on a few times, didn't you?
Oh, definitely.
There were a few plays and a few drives where he went out there, and he was the best player on the field.
No, there really was. And we saw it in camp. We saw it in OTAs. We saw it throughout training camp. And, you know, he played a ton of snaps. I think him and Mike Hoyt were in the top five at the outside backer position and snaps played on the season.
Definitely competing.
So to come in and do that as a rookie is one of the more impressive things I've ever seen. And I think he had 9 sacks as well.
Yeah.
He had at least had 8. And so, you know, he was a productive guy. And, yeah, you're exactly right. He's got so much ability, and I think part of that will be keeping him fresh, you know, so he can get off the ball every single snap, you know, where some of the times he's not saving himself because he knows he has to play a long drive. I think it's little things like that where we can show him, or I think we can get the most out of him.
Well, just one quick thing. Yeah. Schematically, things going to change, or we that's still up in the air?
It's a little bit up in the air.
Up in the air.
We're getting into it. We'll build off what we've done and, you know, keep with the core foundation, and we'll see you in the next coming months.
We'll throw one more at you, Chris. When DeMarco's talking about that light coming on for a player like Byron Young, you see that thing. Is it a technique? Is it a recognition of something that they're about to do to him? What it, for
you get whammed by a fullback, that light will come on quick.
Is that what it is, just understanding what they're trying to do to you?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of that. You know, on defense, you're always reacting. So, you know, it's reacting to the offensive tackle set. It's studying the sets. It's having it move, and what do I do best, and now having counters off it. You know, it's all those types of things that, you know, we'll continue to work with him on. And you know what? He's one of the hardest workers on the team. He's exactly, you know, when we talk about guys in the draft that we're looking to onboard, we're looking for guys like Byron Young. So
Chris Shull is the new defensive coordinator of the Los Angeles Rams. Chris, congratulations. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me on.
You can't have my scarf. Thanks, man.
I bet he can get one if he wants.
I'm sure he could find one somewhere.
I'm sure he could, for sure. Absolutely. Thanks again, Chris. Yeah, DeMarco, it's something else, isn't it? That this is the challenge when you have a successful head coach. This is a challenge when you have a head coach who continues to put other coaches into head coaching positions. You got to replace people.
Yeah.
And it's not one or two. It's just every single season since Sean McVay has been here with the Rams, there's been the term brain drain, right?
Oh, yeah.
This many assistants leave to go be head coaches, and they take a coach
or two. They call it brain drain?
Brain drain.
Right? I like that.
The collective knowledge of
yeah.
And Chris Shula is interesting, too, because he's been here for a while, right?
Yeah.
This will be his eighth season with the team, but just this is another one of those incredible skills that Sean McVay has is, I'll take that guy. And he doesn't miss very often.
No, I think he and McVay were actually roommates in college.
Well, they all go to Miami of Ohio. Every college.
The cradle of coaches, right? That's where they come from.
That's right.
But, yeah, I mean, like, I was racking my brain with some of the season ticket holders just about 20 minutes ago. I don't think Sean McVay has ever fired anyone. Wade Phillips was not re-signed. That's not firing a guy.
Okay.
I think he was just done.
Liam Cohen left.
Right. I don't think he's actually fired anyone. They all move on to different jobs or better jobs for the most part.
It's got to be a good feeling, too, when Coach McVay taps you on the shoulder and says, I'd like you to join my staff, or I'd like to promote you to a more important position inside my staff.
Oh, yeah.
That
if you're a young coach, I would make sure I would, like, bump into McVay somewhere just so he would remember me. Somewhere.
Yeah, maybe spill a glass of wine on him or something.
Perfect.
I'm sorry. Let me send you a new shirt along the way. We are here at Rams Revealed at the YouTube Theater inside SoFi Stadium, adjacent to SoFi Stadium. I don't know how we're supposed to say it other than this place is awesome.
Awesome.
Marco. It is unbelievable. We're still going to talk to Steve Avila in a little bit. Bobby Brown as well, and the COO of the Los Angeles Rams, Kevin Demoff, all scheduled to join us. It's DeMarco Farr, Travis Rogers, Rams Revealed on 710 ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
DeMarco, what you were talking about with Chris Shula, the Rams' new defensive coordinator, who we were speaking with a couple of minutes ago, about a player like Byron Young getting that little advantage of a home field advantage where the opposing quarterback and his offensive lineman have to go on a silent count. Unfortunately, that has not been the norm in SoFi Stadium yet, but it does feel like where we are now, and you and I have been talking about this team since they came back from L.A., back to L.A. in 2016, and from where it started to where it is now, I really don't know if you could ask for more. With the venue, with the team, with the coaching staff, with the way that they've integrated themselves into the community, it really has been extraordinary. It feels like they've been here much longer than they actually have.
100. Have you been to Santa Clara? Have you been to Levi's Stadium?
I have not.
Okay. I just wonder why. I'm still fighting that battle, and I'm willing to die on this hill. Like, I get it. The Rams left, and there was no team, and you had to pick one, and you picked them up north.
Yeah.
But now there's a team here that has an actual, like you said, there's a concert hall inside a stadium. This is cool.
It's, by the way, it's not like a little wooden stage with a spotlight. It is a 6,000-seat state-of-the-art concert venue.
This is your stadium. This is your football team. You need to jump in on this. This is where the cool kids are. So I think at some point it will be like that. I hope Byron Young is ready for that. And it could be next season. But, yeah, just watching him play and turn it up and, you know, start to have that light come on when you can tell, like, he's trusting his instincts of being a football player, and he's making the right reads, and he's making plays, and he's growing in confidence.
How long does that take? How long did it take you before you stopped thinking and you just started playing? You just understood what was happening.
You know, it was quick because I was going against Jackie Slater in training camp.
That'll do it.
Oh, my God. I mean, I learned fast. Like, oh, there's a lack of rule enforcement in the NFL. Like, it's just you and him. Oh, I can play this game. So, yeah. But watching Byron Young just make that leap. Watch Steve Avila make that leap. Watching Matthew Stafford go from this guy to greatness right in front of you and be the toughest guy in the football team. That stuff carries over, and you have a lot of pieces. So you went through this and you did this, made the playoffs on a rebuilding year. So what is 2024 going to bring? You have got to be excited if you're a Rams fan.
Oh,
that's what
gosh.
I mean. This might be your year.
Look, Sean McVay just came out on stage with JB and Andrew Whitworth, and he's already given them a hard time for having hoodies and a sports coat, so now I have to reconsider everything that we were talking about. You told me I could pull it off. Now McVay's busting chops over the whole pack. I may have to reconsider.
Now, don't let Coach scare you out of it.
Oh,
I think you can pull it off.
No.
See, it's big guy stuff. He can't pull it off. That's the problem.
Okay.
Yeah, so he's down. He can't pull off the hoodie and the sport coat.
All right.
Yeah, you got to be a certain girth for that. Yeah.
That makes me feel a little better. Like, you were talking about how coming into last season, the expectations were modest at best. Let's be honest. At best. This felt like, you know,
it was supposed to be a disaster.
If you had gone back to the beginning of the season and said, what is more likely? That this team wins 10 games and goes to the playoffs, and not only goes to the playoffs, but is a team that could win a few games in the playoffs, if not more, or they end up with the first pick in the draft, I think you would probably have leaned more towards the latter than the former. They did get the 10 wins. And if you look at the progression of the Sean McVay era, and you know this as well as anybody, it is be pretty good, get very good, and then there's a dip, and then pretty good, very good. It's kind of a three-year cycle. Well, this upcoming season is year three of that cycle. Last year was 2 years ago, 5-12, 10-7. What's waiting around the corner? What is the ceiling for next year?
Well, you tell me. You watched this year's Super Bowl run. I mean, I thought the Rams, they could have won in Detroit. That could have been them in the NFC Championship game. I mean, who knows what would have happened there, but you see the top of the NFC. You see how the Rams are playing at the end of the year, and this is with guys making their first starts.
Yeah.
This is their first season as starters, so they're all going to get bigger, stronger, faster, and better going into this year. So you tell me if you keep Matthew Stafford healthy, if you can find a way to sign Kevin Dotson, and I think that's the most important thing, keeping him on this football team. Make sure Alaric Jackson or your left tackle spot is solidified, and you get Matthew Stafford comfortable. With Puka Nacua, with Cooper Kupp coming back, you tell me what this offense can do versus what you saw on the NFC side.
We were talking about my pad that you've seen many times before. I got all my little scribbled notes here. I want you to look at what's circled right there, right? Just Kevin Dotson.
Kevin Dotson, yes. That's it.
It's very rare. We're talking about, hey, you know who might be the linchpin to this whole thing is let's make sure that guard that you traded for right before the beginning of the season that you didn't have slated as a starter.
Yeah.
You might need to give him a lot of money because he may be the guy that kind of keeps this whole thing together. Am I overstating that?
No.
Because it really feels like
No. You've got a decision to make on Kevin Dotson. And, look, his representation – I wound up working out in a gym on the road with his agent and didn't know it.
Okay.
And I was just gushing over the guy. And he thought I was doing it because he was there. I had no idea he was Dotson's agent. And we met. I'm like, oh, God, I love your guy. He was like, yeah. So we were talking about the offseason and whatnot, and he smiled and walked off. But – yeah, I mean, he knows what's happening and how valuable he is to this football team. But you'd have to make a decision on Coleman Shelton, bringing him back as a center.
Mm-hmm.
You got to make a decision for Alaric Jackson. He's a restricted free agent. But you've got to keep that offensive line intact. How much it will cost, I don't know who it may cost you. But I think that is the most important thing because your most important asset is number nine.
Yeah.
And secondary to that is protecting number nine.
Yeah. Is it an oversimplification? Look, you go back to the year they won the Super Bowl. That offensive line was mostly healthy. Witt missed some time. Joe Nopum stepped in.
Yeah.
And this is why I've always had a soft spot for Joe Nopum, because on a Super Bowl winning team, he started at left tackle for a good chunk of the season.
Oh, yeah.
Whitworth was not able to do it. So I'll always give him a great deal of credit for that. But the very next year, the offensive line was a disaster. People were hurt. They went through 15, 16 different guys, and nothing else worked. This year, it got quieted down. They only had 9 different guys play games, and your 5 starters were basically your 5 starters for most of the season, and everything worked pretty smoothly after that.
Absolutely. You know, the best thing they did for Joe Noteboom was stop listening to him. If he said Al, no one cared. Really, I don't care. You're playing. Just get out there and play.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need you. So he's been that guy.
Steve Avila is going to join us next. One of those incredible Rams rookie acquisitions from a year ago, getting ready for his second season. He will join us right here on Rams Revealed, live from the YouTube Theater on 710 ESPN. DeMarco and I, of course, were talking about the draft class from a year ago that the Rams found not 1, 2, 3, or 4, but 5 different starters in one draft class, and it started with the Rams' second-round pick, their left guard, Steve Avila, who joins us right now. Steve, congratulations on a first year in the NFL, a first incredibly successful year in the NFL. Take me through it. What was year one in the NFL like?
You know, it's crazy that you say year one, and I can't believe that it's actually been a year.
Like, right.
I think I was at the combine right now, but a lot has happened. It's been fun. Got drafted. I remember getting a phone call from Thousand Oaks, and my first thought was like, where the hell is Thousand Oaks? But I saw LA next to it, so it had to be one
close
of the
enough.
But I don't even remember the conversation. I was just crying so much. You know, it was such a blessing. But I'm blessed to have a lot of good people around me, so it made the season go by, and you know, I'm super glad.
First, you's a big dude, man. I mean, my goodness, bro. How much do you weigh right
with
now?
Me too, right?
I mean, you're just a big dude, though. My goodness.
Yeah.
Big old monster. You played every snap this year. Mm-hmm. Am I right about that?
Yeah.
Every single snap this year. Did you know that when you were at the combine, when you were in your last days of college? My next step when I get to the NFL, I'm starting day one, and I'm going to take every snap.
Oh, man. No, I mean, I'm a really humble person. I believe, you know, I mean, I was put in such a good situation. But, you know, I always told myself, even in college, man, I'm just going to work my tail off. And we'll see where things go. I mean, that's all you can do. And I was put in a situation where I was, you know, I had to start. You know, they drafted me to start, and, you know, I came in here knowing that. So, yeah.
It's one thing to be told, hey, listen, we need you to start, and it's another thing to show up and start and then not take a single play off.
Yeah.
That's like a whole next level along the way. DeMarco and I have talked about you a number of times, you know, before games, during games, after games, and he uses a word that is a compliment. Sitting and talking with you for 5 minutes before, it's not a vibe that I'm getting from you right away. Did you bring a certain level of nasty to the to the position? That you bring a certain level of just, we're here and we're gonna get after this a little bit.
Yeah.
Is it something you just flip on when you put the helmet on?
I mean, you kind of have to. I mean, it's like fight or flight. You don't want to get picked around while you're out there.
Yeah.
You're playing with a bunch of grown men, people who've been playing the game for a long time. And it's kind of like that in college. I remember that was my first thought, you know, being 18 years old going against 21-year-olds.
Yeah.
When you get to the NFL, it's up. So you have to do your best. And for me, I remember going in, I didn't want to be the person that they picked on and watch film and be like, oh, we're going to pick on this rookie.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to be a rookie. So that's the mindset that I had going
in. More of a mental or a physical thing?
Both, really, both. And I didn't want to, you know, be picked around. Like,
yeah.
So, you know, if I get some chirping, I'll chirp back. You have to be as nasty as possible.
I'm shocked. I just thought you like hurting people.
No.
Yeah, come on now. No, but what an education, man. I mean, Aaron Donald, we talk a lot about him. And if you guys are in drills, like one-on-one drills, I think he likes to start on the right, which means he is right over you.
Yeah.
What was that like the first time?
Yeah, I always tell people, I have a bunch of buddies in college, and we'd always – that the standard for the best defensive lineman was Aaron Donald, and we'd always ask, like, do you think you can get him 1 out of 10 times in our head?
In college, like,
yeah.
You would talk
in
about
college,
that.
In college, yeah. Like, yeah, we'll get him at least 3. Like, come on. And then I was the first to call them back my first day and tell them that it would be 0.
No way. Wow.
But it was a good opportunity, man. Like, it's always a blessing going against someone of that caliber. I learned a lot from him, just the stuff that he brings to the table, and you know, I'm blessed to have a teammate like him.
Tell me, wait, real quick. Tell me what that, when you're in college and you're watching Aaron play. I guess we get used to it, watching him do, like, superhuman stuff. But as a guy coming up, I'm about to be in the league with him, mm-hmm. and you see that,
mm-hmm.
what's your thought? Like, oh, my God.
Yeah, he's definitely one person. Like, that is the defensive lineman that you look at, and that's what you think of, you know, that's NFL level stuff. man, he can just do everything. You know, I remember watching film in college with a bunch of my friends, and we were just like, man, we just got to get ready.
Yeah, yeah. But after that, who scares you in the National
League? Yeah, it's more of a mental thing, too. Yeah. I mean, I remember going into my first game, and I'm like, no one on this field is better than him.
Right.
So there's definitely been great – I've gone against great, great, great opponents, but there's no one that's better than him. So that always helps out.
Can you pick his brain? Can you go to him and say, hey, listen, I'm struggling with whatever it might be.
Yeah.
What gives you trouble? Probably not much if you're Aaron Donald, but what makes life more difficult for you? I'd like to do more of that.
So I always get picked on because I haven't really, like, taken the time to pick his brain.
Yeah.
You know, I respect him so much, and I know he's a teammate. You're on the same level.
Right.
I have air quotation marks right now.
Yeah.
But that is, like, a legend. He's the greatest of all time. But I've learned a lot from him from more of an example sense. Like, if I were to watch one of the first practices of the year and I watched the last one, I can tell that he has prepared me, you know, to play the game of football. He's given me a couple of advice, you know, on like hand and all technique stuff.
I asked him about his double swipe and he wouldn't tell me. I'm like, yeah. Did you even pay you or something? But I mean, like, good Lord. But moving forward for you, I mean, we were talking about this season going in. You guys started out 1-2. You fought your way back to 3-3, and then the wheels kind of came off to 3-7. You come out of the bye just on fire. I mean, do you call it a roller coaster? What kind of season do you call that?
Yeah. So it's funny because when that was, I don't even remember being below 500 at all. Like, I was just, we always had the
first
mindset.
Part of the year. Yeah.
We just always had the mindset of just attacking the next week. No one had their heads down. No one was like, we are a 3-7, 3-6 team. It was like, we're going to do our best to beat our next opponent. And, you know, we just kept doing that, and it just kept on building. We started getting more confident in what this team can do. And, you know,
did it help having a bunch of guys that were just getting started in the league with you? They drafted 14 guys in last year's draft. All 14 guys made the team.
For sure. Definitely with the transition part of getting here, we had 40 rookies.
Right.
So that was definitely – I mean, it's cool being with people that – are going through the same things as you, and it's just so awesome, and I'm just so blessed that I'm able to see everybody develop, you know, as I have. So we're all blessed.
Did you see Puka Bash in that celebrity basketball game?
I did. One of the first things that I think I tweeted, I was like, I didn't know he could get up like that.
Yeah.
It's funny because so him and Coop always joke around in the huddle, but at practice, like, they do, like, getting the triple threat.
Yeah.
Like, they have the ball. And I'm like, bro, y'all don't hoop like that. And then he goes out there and drops 16.
Man,
that's the celebrity
awesome
game.
Thing. It wasn't that he could just get up and throw one down. It's that he looked like he'd done it a million times, and he looked like a basketball player. He didn't look like a guy that just is an athlete. He looked like he knew what he was doing.
I think he dunked 3 times and he caught alley-oop, which is insane. That's
wow.
Crazy.
And just we're at the beginning stages of you and his career. That's amazing. Tell me about your quarterback, man.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing that comes to mind is toughness and then leadership. You tell me what it's like to play with Matthew Stafford.
Oh, man, it's a blessing. I know one of the first things that I told myself when I got here was, like, I don't want to get him hurt. Like, and that's just such a typical lineman thing, but, like, it would physically hurt me to see him on the ground and it be my fault. So that's just how much respect I have for him. And I wouldn't want anyone else back there but him. Like, I know that he would be able to cook up something if we didn't get the right call from the sideline. I know that he will put the ball where it needs to be, and that's just such a – it builds confidence for me as an offensive lineman.
You know,
Do you see stuff on film and go, holy blank, too?
Like, oh, for sure, for sure. He's thrown balls during the game, and I turn around, I'm like, dude, holy.
right.
Yeah.
So take me through what it's like in one of those huddles. You got, obviously, DeMarco, Super Bowl champion. You just finished your first year in the league. You've been doing it for a long time.
Oh, I'm talking trash.
my God, I'm barking. You got to go score. Uh-huh. Like, here we go. We got to go do it right now. Mm-hmm. Is it rah-rah? Is it just chill? Like, hey, this is what we're going to do. Here's the play. What I need from you. Take me through the emotions of those moments.
Yeah, it's definitely rah-rah on the sidelines because, I mean, you got to pump yourself up to win. But I feel like in any level of sports, when it gets tough, you need to have a blank mindset.
Yeah.
So that's definitely what, you know, he's been in so many of those situations. Again, like, he's confident in what – I mean, we saw it when we played the Colts. So he's done it a lot of times. And, again, I wouldn't want anybody else.
You want to make a case for Kevin Dotson real quick? Anything?
Yeah. People ask me if I want him back, and I tell them yes. Like,
that's it?
I tell people – people because, like, I wouldn't be a good GM.
Yeah. Because
I feel like we had the pieces to get it done last year. So, I mean, he's an awesome guy. I mean, he came straight in with the mindset of when I get in, I'm not coming out.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's awesome guy.
I don't know who surprised me more. Him. I mean, he's huge. I saw him on film in Pittsburgh, so I'm not so surprised. Kyren Williams really surprised me. I didn't think he was going to be a lead back.
Yeah.
I thought he'd be a complimentary back. He was a physical little running back.
Yeah. It's hard for me to gauge what a good NFL player was going in because I didn't know. But now that I'm looking back going into camp, Kyren was making plays. Puka was making plays. You know, all of these things were happening, and I felt like that's what – I mean, it goes into the season. So it was kind of expected, you know, from being in the inside. I know we can build off of that.
Steve Avila, Rams left guard, joining us here from Rams Revealed at the YouTube Theater. What's it like when you find out? I mean, you knew you were going to go to the NFL. You knew you were going to get drafted. It's just a matter of where you're going to go, when you're going to get drafted. And all of a sudden you find out you're coming to Los Angeles. You're coming to a team coached by Sean McVay, who has had about as much success right out of the chute as anybody that's ever kind of come into the league, especially as such a young person. What's that like, knowing that I'm going to go play for that guy?
Oh, man, you always hear about good coaches, Nick Saban, Bill Belichick, Sean McVay. And I know he's a younger coach, so it can be easier to relate to him. But as soon as I got here, the way that he did things and the way he commands a room was encouraging for a rookie. He knew that we had a young team, and I felt like the way that he navigated through the season helped us develop into what we were. He definitely made it a safe space to be better and learn. It was a learning process for all of us. I always tell people, if I was anywhere else, I don't think I'd be as good as I am.
Really?
So, yeah.
High praise. I bet that playbook was different than college.
It was. But, I mean, during the Senior Bowl, you kind of learn a new playbook, but it all gets bunched together. It's like, this is the same play from college that I ran.
Yeah.
But it's a lot more stuff.
See, that's
more
the of a light technique you're talking thing. About. That's the light coming on.
Yeah.
Oh, right. This is that. Oh, bang, go play.
It's more of a technique thing. I feel like that's the biggest difference. I had to learn. That was what was really heavy when I got here, is just learning how to do things the way they want to. So it took me a couple weeks to do that.
What are the goals for next season? Individual goals. Obviously, team goals are team goals. What about you personally?
Oh, man. I just want to continue. I want to play every snap again. Yeah. That's one thing. But, man, I just want to be better than I was last year. That's a big thing for me. One thing that I told myself coming in is, like, I didn't want to be a bum. And I know that's, like, very
mission
vague.
Accomplished.
It's very vague. But a lot of people talk about sophomore slumps, and I don't want that. I want to put myself in the best position to help this team.
He pancaked Bobby Wagner, and I'm like, I bet he doesn't know who just did.
You
know, he don't know. He don't know. Just keep doing that right there. Do me a favor. Say your last name.
Avila.
Say your last name again.
Avila.
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 People say Avila. It's Avila.
Avila. Yeah. There.
Like,
done.
Just remember, like, avocado, that first AV in that. Avila.
It's going to stick, man.
Yeah,
you made the avocado
for now. So.
Congratulations on
yes,
a great
sir.
Rookie season.
So
it was fun to watch, and more pancakes of Bobby Wagner and guys
yes, sir.
Like him.
Sure, with syrup.
Steve Avila.
Yeah, there we go.
There you go.
There you
Steve
go.
Avila, Rams left guard. It's a pleasure, Steve. Thank you so much. Rams Revealed live from the YouTube Theater. We're still going to talk with Kevin Demoff. That's coming up in a little bit. We're going to talk with Bobby Brown as well. DeMarco Farr, Travis Rogers, 710 ESPN. Lots more to get to.